Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fight Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just go to getroman.com/SGP to get $15 off your first month of treatment. That's getroman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com and the promo code SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by the SGPN app. The SGPN app gives you easy access to all our picks, podcasts, and it's the exclusive place to enter all our contests, including our $1,000 NBA Finals free roll. Just enter SGPN in the App Store or the Google Play Store today.
In this era right now, man, I'm shining. I'm still the undisputed middleweight champion of the world, and that's not going to change anytime soon. I'm the champion. I'm the one with the belt. I'm the one with the gold. If you want the belt, come get it.
It's my destiny to be the first Italian UFC champion, and I deeply feel it inside. This is everything I work for every day for the past 12 years, and I made it happen.
You are looking at a man that has ultimate belief in himself.
I'm the most complete fighter in the whole division, by far. You see me showing up every time. You see me winning every time. This is not by luck.
That looks good, he got it!
I have the strongest mind in the game. When it's time to go, I'm unstoppable.
Oh! Knockdown for Marvin Vettori. Hermanson covering up.
Vettori is tough, well-rounded. I think that kid's ready for anything.
There's the tap. Marvin Vettori is the real deal.
I think I'm next in line. The last fight that I had with Adesanya was the closest fight that he's ever had, and that fight has to be made again.
You can see who wanted it in that fight. He did not have anything for me.
Marvin Vettori gave Israel Adesanya one of the most difficult tests he's ever had inside the octagon.
In the first fight with Marvin, it was me dominating the first two rounds completely. I just styled on him. How the f*** does this guy think he won?
For the winner by split decision, Israel!
I know what I did to him, but here we are again. Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it.
Oh! Knockdown for Adesanya!
I've improved drastically, exponentially. Now I'm one of the best fighters in the world.
You are looking at the undisputed greatest middleweight in the world at present.
Y'all must have forgot. We the best.
Israel is full of He said multiple times, yeah, I'll never see Marvin again. He will never make it to the title. Guess what? From here.
I can beat him. I beat him then, and I'll beat him again.
He's just literally delusional. He holds on to that loss to me better than his biggest win of his career. So I want to take that away from him and just make sure there's no doubt when I take him out this time.
That is it! Wow. Still undisputed!
I'm going to show up in the best shape of my life, and I'm going to put up the performance of my life. I'll bring too much to the table, and I'll finish him.
It's going to end with my hand being raised. Guaranteed. I can't wait to just beat the shit out of this guy. Badly.
You are listening to The Fight Show here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on the Twitter at The SGP Network. That's at The SGP Network. You can follow me on my Twitter account at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. I am the host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast. Also, check out my website, lockbetting.com. That's lockbetting.com, where I've taken my clients to 96 months in a row. That's 8 years in a row without a losing month of transparent track profit. It's all transparent and tracked via spreadsheets over at lockbetting.com. You can see every single one, or you can go to the pin tweet at my Twitter account at SGPZogga to see the previous month. We are looking for our 97th month this month. And of course, we have the NBA playoffs. We have the NHL. We have the MLB, where we are 100% this season on one unit plays, cashing another one last night. We also have boxing picks. We are on a phenomenal boxing run. We've got back on track with the UFC after a poor start to the year. And of course, we have Euro 2020. Here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, we have released a podcast every day for the futures, an outright futures show and six group shows. And over on the Soccer Gambling Podcast, we'll be doing a show for Euro 2020 every 2 days. But if you want all of my official picks and you want a podcast every day covering the international soccer tournaments, which includes that Copa America, then you need to head over to lockbetting.com. Just to let you know, there will be a Copa America preview show simulcasting on the Soccer Gambling Podcast and right here on the SGP Network. That will be coming out later on today. So if you're listening to this show, it should only be a few hours apart before that Copa America preview drops as well. And then we'll be resuming the Copa America in the later stages. But if you want coverage every single day, a podcast called International Daily will be available over at lockbetting.com. So there are multiple packages there. There are podcast packages. There are podcast packages that come with picks for soccer. Or there's packages with podcasts, soccer picks, and all sports, which will include the UFC card for tonight, UFC 263, which is why we are here. So we're going to break down this card. We're going to break down the three main fights. I would say three main events here on this show, because we have 3 5-round fights. And we begin with the fight that we heard the preview for at the top of the show, as Israel Adesanya gives a rematch here to Martin Vettori. And of course, Israel Adesanya is obviously the favorite here, despite the fact that he's coming off a loss. And despite the fact that Marvin Vettori did give him his toughest fight prior to that loss. But Israel, as you heard there when he was talking about the fight, he has a very, very warped narrative as to what happened. He said he won the first 2 rounds very clearly. If you win 2 rounds very clearly, you don't tend to have a split decision on the cards. I mean, in UFC, you can do, because the judging is absolutely fucking unbelievably atrocious, but often you don't really get a split decision. So no, he did not win that fight clearly at all. And this is a real main event and a real fight here tonight where either man could win. Adesanya, as I said, is the favorite. He's priced up at 4-9 to win this fight. More widely available at 2-5, but that's the best price, with Vettori at around about 21-10. You can find this at 5-2, or it can be as bad as 2-1 when you're looking around for the Vettori price. Looking at the methods to victory here in this one, Israel Adesanya is available at 2-1 to finish this via TKO KO, and he has 5 rounds to do it. 25-1 on the submission, and he is available at 6-4 to grind out another decision. But last time it's a 3-round fight. Here we have the 5 rounds, so you have to navigate a longer distance for Israel to do what he did last time. Martin Vettori in a method for victory market is 10-1 via TKO KO, 17-2 to draw, and 4-1 to get this done via a decision. Looking at the over-under markets here in this one, the total rounds market, over 1.5 rounds here is at 2-9, with under 1.5 rounds here at 3-1. Over 2.5 rounds here is priced up at 1-2, with under 2.5 rounds here available at 7-4. Under 3.5 rounds here is available at 5-4, with over 3.5 rounds here available at 4-6, minus 150. Over 4.5 rounds is 4-6 minus 150. And, oh, sorry, that's what I just gave out. Apologies for that. Over 4.5 rounds here is available at 4-5. And under 4.5 rounds here is available at evens. So not major differences there between taking the over 3.5 and over 4.5. And again, less differences here when you take the fight to go the distance. Yes, the fight to go the distance is available at 10-11. And no, the fight to go the distance here is at 10-11. So pretty much looking, according to the books, like we will see a similar fight for the first three rounds. And then the championship rounds may dictate which way this fight will go. The interesting thing about that is that when you look at the last fight, I mean, even according to Israel Adesanya's view of how it went, he won the first two rounds and then went on to lose the last round. I mean, even Israel Adesanya concedes that. Obviously, somewhere along the line, the judges gave Marvin Vettori another round, which is why we got that split decision, gave him either one or two. And then that led us to a split decision. So Israel Adesanya didn't win that fight clearly by any stretch of the imagination. In addition to that, he did lose the final round of that fight. Now, did Marvin Vettori work out the blueprint as to how to beat Israel Adesanya? Well, it's there. When you look at the last fight when Israel Adesanya went up in class, he was out-wrestled through the fight, taken down relatively easily and lost the decision on the scorecards. The O has gone. And I don't know how he'll react to that, whether he'll be just massively pissed off and regretting the mistake. Because look, as much as losses change fighters, he went up 20 pounds. He went up a ridiculous amount of weight to be a champ and just couldn't get it done. So whether he's looking at that and regretting the fact that he was stupid to do it and perhaps not really, it hasn't really fazed his confidence too much because he knows that was a crazy thing to do. He may come in here wanting to put out, well, obviously he's going to be wanting to put out an unbelievable performance, but he may be super motivated and super focused to just get this guy out of here because Vettori has been talking shit about Israel for a long time. That part of the narrative is true at the start of the preview where he was talking about how Vettori kind of lauds this loss as one of his biggest achievements. Now, I wouldn't quite go as far as that, but Vettori has spoken a long time about how he pushed Adesanya, about how he thought he won the fight. Well, dude, you are talking on and on about a loss. And obviously, it has got us to this point where Marvin Vettori, as the number three ranked fighter here, has managed to talk his way into a rematch. So he's going to have to deliver. He's going to have to pick up where he left off. He's going to have to take the blueprint from Israel Adesanya's loss. And he's going to have to just ground and pound and wrestle this guy down to the ground and continuously just do what it is Israel Adesanya is supposed to be weakest at. The interesting thing here is that Israel Adesanya did have this fight under control for at least 1.5 rounds still, in my opinion. Despite the fact he says he was controlling it clearly, I don't think he was controlling it clearly, but he did have some semblance of control in terms of being able to use his range and his striking and keeping this guy off him. And it's very, very different, I think, between keeping Błachowicz and Marvin Vettori off you, giving that massive weight differential. Because even with the weight class that he went up, the fighter would have hydrated and come in a lot heavier during the fight. So it was a real mountain to climb. And maybe people didn't really factor that in when they made Israel Adesanya a massive favorite for the last fight. In fact, pretty close to the same price that he is to win today. Now, the main intrigue here, despite the fact that Israel is moving back to his weight class, is that Marvin Vettori is the only man at this weight class to win a scorecard against Adesanya. This is because one judge decided that Marvin Vettori beat Israel Adesanya. That is the entire intrigue here. That is how Vettori has talked himself into this fight because, according to one judge, he beat this man in a fight. That's why he's the number one contender. There's a lot of questions going into this. Looking at Vettori, he is a grinder. He is a brawler. But he has added dimension to his game to make him more dangerous. He has undoubtedly improved since the last fight. And he can exploit Israel Adesanya's weakness, which has always been glaring. Get him down to the ground and he's in trouble. Jan Błachowicz didn't stop him, but he did beat him convincingly in March to retain his light heavyweight title. I had that fight 4-1. It wasn't close. Israel Adesanya should never have been in that situation. Now for Vettori, he will have to implement a similar game plan, not just to that, but what he did in the third round of their first fight. If he picks up where they left off and learns the lessons from the first meeting, he can win this fight. The problem is for Vettori, he isn't Błachowicz. He doesn't have that massive size advantage, which was obviously increased by hydration. And on top of that, Israel Adesanya is now pissed off. He doesn't want to go 0-2 for the year. He doesn't want to lose back-to-back fights after losing his O. And he's probably spent the last few months working to correct those issues and probably has an even more lethal striking game than he had before. So he's going to be looking to keep this guy off him through the entire five rounds of the fight and possibly even pick up the finish in the later stages. Well, he'll pick up the finish whenever he can pick up the finish. But if Vittori's getting too much damage here, then Israel Adesanya will be looking to get this guy out of it, especially with the shit talk that's been going on here en route to this fight. I expect this to play similarly to the first showdown, with Adesanya keeping Vittori at bay. Vittori will have his successes. He may be able to get a round or two on the cards. And I think with Israel Adesanya knowing that, and wanting to knock this guy out, there will be a point in this fight where Israel Adesanya just knows that he needs to stay ahead. Because I think if he's winning and controlling the entire fight and he's three rounds up on the card and he's doing significant damage and Vittori cannot land these takedowns and close the range, then he's been looking to get this guy the fuck out of it. Not just because he hates Marvin Vittori, but because he wants to wipe out that loss convincingly. And I think that will be the approach that he takes. But at the end of the day, the real priority here is not to lose. And for Israel Adesanya to be here at 6-4 plus 150 to get this on a decision, and looking at how the last fight played out and looking at the fact that you'll only need another 10 minutes here, and especially if Vittori is in it, if Vittori has managed to get some takedowns, if Vittori has managed to win one of the first three rounds, then I think Israel Adesanya is going to go into safe mode, try and keep this guy at bay, try to avoid the takedowns, win the striking battle and take this on the cards and just get the hell out of it and get your career back on track. And it's incredible to say that about Israel Adesanya, because he's one of the faces of UFC, and we're talking about him getting his career back on track after moving up a ridiculous amount of weight and taking a fight to me a champ that he didn't win. But you didn't become the champ and you failed and your O is gone, and now if you lose another fight, there'll be serious questions about the future of Israel Adesanya. Know that he's not going to retire, obviously not, but is he as good as everybody thought he was going to be, or was he a flash in the pan? Because losing back-to-back fights isn't good for anybody, and especially losing here to Marvin Vittori when he's been talking about this fight for so long, and it kind of adds credibility and weight to everything that Marvin Vittori's been saying. So I'm going to go for Israel to take the safe route here and win this via a decision. But obviously, if he's dominant here in the fight, look for your hedges, look for a potential of a knockout here in rounds 4 or 5. Another thing I like is that it's comfortably to get over the 2.5 round mark, so possibly look to implement that into parlay somewhere here for tonight's fight card. But Adesanya on the points here will be my lean here for this one. Moving on to the co-main event, and another title fight here on the show sees Davison Figueiredo taking on Brandon Moreno. Figueiredo is the 2-5 favorite here, which I find strange. I'll talk about that shortly. It's 2-1 on Brandon Moreno. Method of victory markets see Figueiredo at 7-4 to win via TKO KO, 7-1 submission, and 9-4 via decision. Moreno's 9-1 TKO KO, 11-1 via decision, and 11-1 submission, and 10-3 via a decision. Looking at the over-under rounds here, we'll begin with the over 2.5 here, because it's available at 4-7, with the under 2.5 at 5-4. Under 3.5 is 10-11, and over 3.5 is 10-11. We'll skip over the 4.5 lines, because the fight to go to decision, yes, 6-5. Fight to go the decision, no, is available here at 4-6. So I'm surprised here by the line. It doesn't make a whole load of sense to me here why Moreno is such a big underdog. This was one of the best fights of 2020, without a doubt. These are two guys that just kicked the shit out of each other and brawled for 25 minutes and were pretty reckless about it. That's what you can really do here at this weight. Yeah, you can see some good fights with some reckless abandonment, and there isn't too many knockouts and stoppages here at the weight class. Figueiredo was also coming off a fight actually last time out, roughly 3 weeks earlier, but still managed to retain his title via draw. Moreno pulled out everything into those final rounds to get the belt, but he just came up short. Some people had him winning the fight, but in the end, it ended up being a draw. So that's why I don't understand why the odds are so stacked against him. It feels like to me a massive overcorrection in terms of what we saw in the fight in December. So immediately the value shifts to the other side. I mean, you've got the value there on the money line. And of course, you can take this on points because I feel like a decision is the logical choice given the relative lack of power here in this division. So there's lack of power and finishes in this division, and therefore a decision looks like the automatic way to go, just as it was last time. Not to mention Moreno specifically has three KO victories, TKOs in his 18 fight career, and Figueiredo has showed that he has a tough chin. So don't really think this is priced up correctly. I mean, I would lean Figueiredo here in a 50-50, but I think you've got to take Moreno as an underdog here, given that it's a relatively even fight and we have a 2-1 underdog here. He's 10-3 via decision, and I love the plus money on the fight to go to decision here at 65. Don't understand why we're getting that generous line, but while it's there, take advantage of it before the sharps do for this one to go to distance here between Figueiredo and Moreno here in this one. The final fight we're going to look at here is the return to the octagon of the one and only Nate Diaz.
On a winter night in Orlando, he called his shot.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, you're taking everything I work for.
That was the transformative moment for Nathan Diaz, a highly visible figure who'd always been a touch misunderstood. The raw and uncompromising fighter who was incapable of being anything but real. It was that moment he was truly crystallized as a star, but really the cult of Nate Diaz had long been in effect. Anyone who'd watched him over the years already knew the truth. He'd put in the work. He pried open the fight game's imagination because of who he is. He's about the we and not the me, the collective. His loyalty to Cesar Gracie has been legendary.
Cesar Gracie, fight team all the way.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, Stockton, California, baby, you already know what's up.
Same with the love he has for his brother, Nick. There's always a sense Nate viewed himself as Nick's younger brother.
It's Nick Diaz Army.
And it didn't bother him at all. He's always treated it like the badge of honor that it is and the greatest gift he'd ever known.
The mixed martial arts master, Nick Diaz, no one can top this man right here.
But as we came to understand him, every detail of his life began to add up to something special. Someone who could captivate the masses like he did when he arrived on the scene during the Ultimate Fighter 5. By the time he'd won it, you knew Nate was his own man. Through it all, he's never wanted to escape the shadow of Nick. Instead, wanting that shadow to loom like a caution, that all the mean mugging was an extension of the bloodline itself. That the 209 wasn't just a number. Stockton, California wasn't just a place on the map. That jiu-jitsu was life. Over the years, he's done the impossible.
Nate Diaz has done it!
He's become the essence of what it means to be a fighter.
Don't stop, cool him up, baby, all day.
He's earned the respect of millions, leaving his mark on some of us forever.
John Ennick better get a 209 tattoo. I'm a whoop his little ass.
He's let the world know that fighting is an attitude.
Double fingers and a fully locked and dropped.
It is all over!
That you should push back whenever possible. He's won big fights.
Man! Combination by Nate Diaz!
He's had crazy years and been through trying times, yet he's never anything other than who he is.
My whole team will beat your whole team's ass. How about that?
That's what made his rivalry with Conor McGregor so enormous.
That's it! He's got the shot!
Nate Diaz!
He's tapped!
He's done it!
He's tapped!
His insubordination to everything as it was. He called his shot and backed it up.
Hey, I'm not surprised.
McGregor helped bring Nathan Diaz into focus, but he'd been there the entire time. And even when the series was knotted up in the historic record-breaking rematch, he came back in style. His fight with Anthony Pettis after 3 years away was as the return of a hero. When he won, he kept it real again.
Jorge Masvidal had a good last fight. So I know my man's a gangster, but he ain't no West Coast gangster.
So real that what he had in mind materialized in the biggest way possible. Madison Square Garden, fighting for the BMF title. He hasn't just pried open the fight game's imagination by calling his shots. At some point, he became the fight game's imagination. The great orchestrator of his own destiny, the heart of the 209, and the defiance to be who he's always been, which is the realest of the real.
That is Nate Diaz. But unfortunately, I think this is somewhat of a tribute to Nate Diaz, because I'm not sure that we will see him in the octagon again after tonight, because he's taking on Leon Edwards. For me, this is a stepping stone fight here for Edwards. Edwards is an elite fighter, but he doesn't have the elite names. And I think the victory of Nate Diaz is going to elevate this guy to another level. I'm not just saying that because he's a Brit. I think if we look at Leon Edwards, we can see that he's a class above and he is destined to move up. But in order to do that, he needs to get past this ultimate obstacle here of Nate Diaz. And this will be the ultimate scalp to take. And I do feel that he will take it here tonight. The bookies agree. He is the 2-9 favorite here, as high as 1-6 in some places, with Diaz available at 4-1. That is going to get a lot of sentimental action later on today, because people would love to bet Nate Diaz, would love to see him win this fight, would love to see him get the finish here. But as I said, the odds are not in his favor. When you look at the method of the victory markets, it's split here between Edwards winning it via TKO KO or the decision. Both are priced at 11-8 with the submission sandwiched in between at 14-1. For Diaz, it's 10-1 everything. 10-1 TKO KO, 10-1 submission, and 10-1 via a decision. Looking at the total rounds markets, we'll begin at over 2.5, where it's 2-5 that it'll go over 2.5, and it's 7-4 that it'll go under 2.5. I agree that it will end up going over. Over 3.5 rounds here is at 4-6, with under 3.5 rounds here at 6-5. We'll move straight to, will it go to a decision? Yes is available at 11-10, and no is available here at 4-5. I think that it will get past the 2.5 rounds, but I don't think that it will go to a decision. I think Edwards will be on top here in this fight. The weird thing is that Diaz will benefit from the 5-round fight here. I think had it been a 3-round fight, I would think Edwards would win relatively comfortably inside on points and get it done inside those 3 rounds and be the dominant force, with Diaz possibly coming more into the fight the longer it goes. However, I think for a different reason here, I can see Nate Diaz getting stopped in rounds 4 or 5. Diaz isn't a fight attraction. He has no problem turning fight into a brawl. He has no problem selling tickets here. It's massive to have him on here. This really does qualify as the third main event, and that's exactly what it is. He's a big draw. He's going to be drawing people here to this fight. As I said, he loves a brawl. He loves turning it into a dirty brawling fight. That's also when he does his best work, and that's what we'll be looking to do here. However, this is a big mountain to climb. Edwards is elite. We saw a little bit in March in relation to his striking, which was great. But the game plan here will likely to be get Diaz into the fence, bust him up as much as he can in those brawls with the elbows. Now, Diaz has hardly ever been stopped, just twice in his career. But at this point in time, the scar tissue around his face is real. And that shit is going to open up the same way it opened up against Masterville. So whereas you're looking at Edwards winning this fight via decision, if it was to go 3, he has a longer time to do more damage and make Diaz look very, very awful here as we move into a 5-round fight. At some point, I think the doctors are going to start looking at this shit. They're going to look at the state of Diaz's face. Diaz is not going to get stopped here. He's not going to get knocked out or anything like that. But at some point, refs, doctors, all of these guys are going to start looking at this situation as we get to rounds 4 and 5. The scar tissue is going to be open up. Diaz is going to have a massive crimson mask on his face. And that's where I believe Edwards will be able to get the stoppage. I don't think there's any way we're going to see Diaz get knocked out here. But once he does get into that brawling mode, Edwards is going to be more than happy to oblige with him. And he's going to be able to take advantage of nailing those elbows and fists and taking advantage of the scar tissue around Diaz's face. That's where I very specifically see this one being finished. In more simplistic terms, Edwards via TKO KO would be the way to go. Another way to do this would be just to stay off this fight initially and maybe take the knockout in play, because I don't think the knockout's going to come early. I think You're over 2.5 here with this fight, the Figueiredo fight and the Israel Adesanya fight. I think all of these fights are going to end up getting themselves into the championship round. So I think it's going to be a long night here in the UFC with all of these fights going over 2.5 rounds, with it taking some time for people to get their stoppages, whether it be Israel Adesanya capitalizing on the amount of damage he's done. For Figueiredo and Moreno, I very clearly see that one going to the cards. And here in this particular fight, whether it be a case of Nate Diaz's face not being able to withstand the damage, which, as I said, is a weird analysis in some ways, because you're looking at this fight and you're looking at Edwards being in a 5-round fight, and you're looking at Nate Diaz, who loves going long. He's an absolute cardio machine. But in this day and age, I think that there's a lot of damage being done to that face, and we will see things opened up. And we've seen it in boxing with fighters being stopped a little bit early now by corners, with towels being thrown in by doctors who've got concussion protocols and all these things out there. And it's a lot easier now to get a fight stopped with damage. There's a lot more precautionary stuff going on there now. So it's more difficult to get down to the cards, get it to the cards, if your face looks like absolute shit. So that, I think, will be an issue here. But I don't think there will be an issue in relation to all of these fights here getting past the over 2.5 round mark, with round 3 starting in all of them. So with that said, the lock here on this show is going to be a parlay lock. So two selections here, two leg parlay for Israel Adesanya and Martin Vettori, the third round to start. So that's the third round to start, and Deverson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, again, the third round to start. You can parlay these two selections together for one unit, £100. That will get you £220. This is at 6-5, plus £120 for the third round to start in both of those fights. Israel Adesanya and Vettori, and Figueiredo and Moreno. That's it for me in this edition of the UFC 263 Fight Show. Good luck with all your bets, as always, and thanks for listening.